What's going on, everyone? We are back in another episode labeled A Brand in the Making. I'm John.
I'm Ariel.
And we have a special episode for you today where we are talking about music, fashion, and we have a very special guest, Augie Ray, here.
What up?
He's a Grammy Award-winning producer. He's a singer-songwriter. What else can we say about you?
I mean, that to me is great. I mean, but more than that, I think, you know, for me, I've been trying to get away from, categorized, but more so like I have worked on Grammy Award winning projects and, you know, more so like, you know, I run a studio in Chatsworth, California type of thing. So
entrepreneur.
Yeah. Entrepreneur and things like that. So, you know, I don't want to be so like esoteric and all that stuff. Cause I know a lot of, you know, artists can be that way. They can be, you know, all up in the air and stuff. Like, I don't know who I am, but you know, for me, I feel like, you know, these days, like it's like you are what you say you are type of thing. And so if there's so much power in the word of what you're going to say about yourself and, I think that's important. So
That's dope. So just to get a little bit into it, we wanted to kind of talk a little bit about fashion and music, and as well as talk about your entrepreneurial endeavors. So to kind of kick it off, we in music and in fashion, I would say maybe about, I don't know, 2005 or whatever. I remember actually more so recently, I remember Beyonce got awarded or won the Image Awards at the NAACP Awards or whatever. And she talked about how fashion brands weren't really, in the beginning stages of Destiny's Child and all that stuff, fashion brands weren't really checking for them. Like, they weren't dressing them. They weren't doing anything with her group. And that's crazy to me because she's like, Destiny's Child at the time was like a big entity. Like, everyone loved Destiny's Child. So it's like, now more than ever, you see a lot of brands kind of like, using hip-hop artists, musicians, and things like that. Like, you see Beyonce and Givenchy when, you know, whenever the designer was with them. You see Cardi B and Mugler. You see Nicki Minaj and Fendi. So what is it now? Why is fashion now coming to artists? What is your opinion on that?
Well, my opinion is, like, I think from, you know, I would say even from the beginning of time, I think that there's always been, you know, this, you know, kind of culture shift. Even when you think about like music from like a European standpoint, like you think about like slaves actually like singing chants and doing things in, you know, the field and stuff. And realistically, these slaves learned Eurocentric songs, right? Actually before, which was more, you know, hymnal. So it's like these hymnals that don't have soul or don't have this extra sound to it or whatnot that makes it more of like, you know, you hear Amazing Grace sang by, you know, some, you know, American folklore type of person, and then you listen to a slave sing it and it's like, oh shoot, you know what I mean? But a lot of songs and a lot of things, even if you go to like Elvis Presley and you start studying Elvis, like, we know he's an American like great, but also like if you look into, you know, what Elvis, you know, kind of did with the music that he got, a lot of his stuff wasn't his own. He didn't write it. You know what I mean? So he was grabbing from people like Muddy Waters and, you know, black artists and things like that. And so when I look at, you know, fashion and its evolution, I think that there's been like different shifts over time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, I think that popular, like even in the 90s, I mean, the 90s nostalgia of like, you know, hip hop, and, you know, you think about Diddy and his era or whatnot, him taking these like, you know, super cool, like, you know, mink coats and throwing them on and like hopping in Benzes and, you know, really shifting like the culture from more of like, prior to that being more gangster rap. It's like gangster rap, you know, it was just like khakis and Dickies and, you know, this is how we do things. And I think that has been a slow progression and evolution over time, that now these, companies have nowhere to go, like, right. In a sense that it's so apparent and so affluent that, you know, before it was kind of like, you guys can rock our stuff. You know, you look at like, you know, Gucci, or you look at like even Louis Vuitton, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. and some of these other organizations that prior to this time, you know, had a very, a big distinction between like street culture and, you know, actual, you know, like fashion culture or whatever. They wanted mm-hmm. to kind of separate the two or whatnot. You had little things like, you know, Jean Basquiat, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that, you know, comes in and he's, you know, messing with Andy Warhol, and he's kind of, you know, like, you know, wearing certain things and doing certain things because he's, you know, he's able to see that space, you know what I mean, that a lot of people don't get to see. But as I said, really, you know, answering that question is kind of like, I feel like these brands are kind of like boxed in at this point, you know what right. I mean? It's kind of like they've been doing a lot of what they've been doing, and you know, I think that there's a big kind of understanding that these guys, you know, street culture has a big influence on the way that we look at you know, fashion these days, especially now, but it's been going on for a long time, you know, mm-hmm. putting little pieces and things like that and nuances or whatever without maybe giving them credit. Now, I think now you have to give credit where credit is due, right. you know, so.
But don't yeah. you think that's kind of like, in a sense, cultural or even, yeah, cultural appropriation for these brands? Because a lot of them are using those influences to kind of go into their collection, but it's not really a part of their aesthetic or a part of their code as a brand. So wouldn't that kind of be classified as kind of cultural appropriation or something like that?
Isn't cultural appropriation when you say, like, I do it better?
It's more, it's that, but it's more of like you take a, so say like baggy pants, right? You take that and then you use that and you say that you started that.
Trend. Well then yes. Yeah. But if you're just getting inspired by it.
But some brands usually take that idea and say that they started it. Like even with Gucci, I remember they did a, I forgot what it was, but it was some type of like design that they got from like, it was the Zoot Suit actually. It was the Zoot Suit. So the Zoot Suit is black made. So, or black, a lot of like African-Americans started that trend where it's like oversized coats and things like that, and like long trousers and all that. And then Gucci started doing that, and they, and now like fashion media is saying like they started that type of aesthetic. So I feel like in fashion and right now, I feel like a lot of them are using, or maybe not using, but like getting those ideas from hip hop artists or whatever type of culture and using it for their own regard. So in reference to what you were saying, don't you think that would is similar to cultural appropriation in a sense or not? So
I think 100%. I mean, yeah. I think that, you know, like Picasso says, you know, like the best artist still, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And, you know, there's like, it seems very negative. And it, to me, when I look at these brands, you know, I think before it was like, we could look at these things and take them and, you know, yeah, like, let me make this better than what, you know, seems, you know, like what you guys have been using it for or whatnot. And what right. I mean by you guys is like what the common folk have been using it for, but we're going to take it and make it look a little bit more, you know, plush. They had the idea, but now I'm going to elevate it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but the thing is I think back in the day, there was a lot of don't ask, don't tell type of thing, mm-hmm. which is more so like, okay, well, that person's not going to come sue us. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? That person doesn't have enough money to do this and this and this, or nobody's going to, you know, there wasn't social media. So you couldn't get on, you know, the, you know, social media and like rant about it. Like, hey, I did this and this is what happened. There's so many more eyes these days or whatever. So as far as like, you know, cultural appropriation, it's like, I think at this point it's kind of, it's hard to argue that it's not happening. So what they do is they'll pick certain people like, you know, Travis Scott or, you know, like Kanye and, you know, and you know, I've seen the Kanye, you know, shoe redone like millions of times, you right. know what I mean? Not just the Red Octobers, but like, you know, the, you know, the Yeezys and all different, like, it's like they, that's what is happening. And it's like, mm-hmm. wait, that shoe looks exactly like, you know, the shoe that he put out like three summers ago, right, you know yeah. what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's where I feel like, you know, drawing the line, is, you know, is there, it's just kind of like, okay, how many times can you do that? I'm not saying all fashion. I'm saying that to mm-hmm. be inspired, you know, culturally, like even in music, you have samples, right? And right. so people incorporate samples in their songs and, you know, you flip it so much, you're like, okay, I created this thing. It's no longer what it was, right? So mm-hmm. there's a big conversation there. It's like, you know, I take a song from the 1970s and I flip it and I make it a dope record. You can't hear the sample, but mm-hmm. the sample's in there, right? But the sample's in there, you know what I mean? So the answer to that is, well, if the sample's in there, that means that you were able to get inspired, yes, mm-hmm. but also you were able to take something and make it your own. So what did you take, and are you willing to give credit to what you took to make this sample sound, you know, really great? So I think the same thing in like fashion needs, or like is happening and mm-hmm. should happen more often.
Yeah, it's taking the creativity from something or from a reference that you've seen in the past and kind of implementing it and modernizing it now. I think that's definitely what's happening, because we see that even me and Ariel, when we were seeing the fashion shows, like we saw that a lot of these styles are like reimagined from either seasons ago or something, or like most recently their last season. So it's like we're seeing a lot of repetitiveness in fashion, I would say. And I think a lot of that happens in the industry, especially now when fashion is kind of working with these artists and they're getting their ideas from them. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to go into like more your creative side when it comes to fashion. Like what is your style and how does that translate into your music?
Wow. I mean, you know, for me, to be honest with you, I think when I was younger, I struggled with fashion. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I struggled with, you know, finding myself, because I feel like fashion is kind of like an outward representation of who you inwardly are. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. kind of like, but I feel like society and also the way you grew up kind of keeps you in a box, right? It's kind of like, okay, you hang out with these people, so you should wear this, right? And right. then you want this, so, you know, you have to do that. You know what I mean? And so, and what I mean by that is kind of like, I want to hang out with, you know, the cooler people, or I want to do this, and I, you know, or I want to, you know, create an album, and so I need to look like this. And I, like I said, it was something that I really struggled with actually growing up, because mm-hmm. I think that I had such I wouldn't say self-hate, but like kind of like a thing against my own self, right? It's like loving yourself or whatever in a sense. And so finding these different styles and different things and being like, is this me? Is this me? And I don't think until like I was at least like maybe, you know, 21, maybe mm-hmm. 22, really discovering like, wow, like I like basic clothing, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like,
so like jeans, t-shirt, or like more streetwear type basic clothing, or like what?
Yeah, I mean, I like stuff that's like actually off-brand type of thing. Mm. It's not really, it feels good, it looks good, and you don't have to do much. You know, like when I show up, I don't want to be like, oh, like he got Gucci and he has Louis Vuitton. And he has all, like, I've never been that guy where I'm just like showy or whatever. Mm. But I'm one of the people that were like, where it's like, I want the clothing material to be, you know, very well knitted together. It could be basic, so I don't show off or whatever. And, you know, the label and the sticker and all that stuff is irrelevant. It's more so mm-hmm. like, oh, wow, where did you get that? You know, it's kind of exclusive. I have one piece on me that might be something that's like exclusive that you can't really mm-hmm. get, you know, somewhere else or whatever.
Right.
So I would say for me, I'm just, I'm more of like a simple but sophisticated, you know, right. like type of person, because, you know, even up, I mean, and I have seasons, you know what I mean? Like, and, you know, as you say, like with music, it's like, you know, right now I'm more in like a entrepreneur business, you know, mindset, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Where, you know, when I'm going to different meetings and stuff like that, I like to wear, you know, things that are more like, in your, not in your face, but more strong, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And then when I'm doing my artist thing, like I like to just be, you know, I like to be comfortable actually, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I like to be comfortable and, yeah. And I know small pieces, like I have like a watch on that's like, oh, this is like a really cool watch and right. everything else is like whatever, you know what I mean? So just like small things like that. So
mm-hmm. kind of like, I don't know, maybe like a Steve Jobs type style, maybe not too like, you know, collared or what is it, turtleneck sweaters or like sweatshirts like or anything opposite. Like that, but no, what I'm saying like his way of dressing, like his way of dressing is very simple but still very like it looks good, so similar to in that realm, simple but still looks good.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like, I mean, obviously Steve Jobs would wear the same thing like every single day. Yeah. But
I didn't mean that, but
yeah, but you know, there, I think there is like a genius to that, which is like less thinking when you're, mm-hmm. when you're looking for your clothes. Like if you go to my house right now, the way that I have my clothes actually set up, is very much like, here are all my shirts, here are all my pants, here are all my, you know, because I want to be able to walk in there and just be like, okay, before I even go check it out, I maybe take 5 minutes before I need to step out the house. That is kind of like how I go about it, because I don't want to spend so much time and so much creativity on picking out clothes. Like right. some people can spend like an hour on that. So to answer your question, like, yeah, you know, I think about like, you know, Dr. Dre and, you know, his aesthetic with, you know, Steve Jobs, they're kind of the same kind of person. They wear like, you know, they wear the same thing over and over. But I would throw it, like, I can't do the same thing over and over. So, mm-hmm. but as far as the mindset, yes, I want to be, you know, comfortable, simple, and still make a statement.
Right. What brands do you kind of gravitate to? And well, I know you said you're not really into like brands, but basically how you shop now for the clothing that you wear today, where do you go to pick those out?
You know, Target. No, you know that brand over at Target, Masa Meat. No, I'm just messing with you. No, I mean, I think that when I'm trying to create a, like, have a statement, I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with Target. Target has actually come up. I think, you know, like the Goodfellow brand and stuff like that. Like, if you're just chilling out, you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. But like, I think for me, it's all about quality. I mean, one brand that I've been messing with is like Everlane. Like I like, mm-hmm. you know, the quality of their stuff. I like their 365 wash, you know, like guarantee. It's very like basic stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think American Apparel really, when they were in business and when everything was flourishing, they really had an impact on just, you know, American culture. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was something that was from America and, you know, a lot of people didn't like it, but they started kind of the basic kind of trend a bit, you know what I mean? Where, people wear basic things. And so, I would say like, I like, you know, like Everlane, I like unique shops. Like I like to go to Abercrombie and just find something mm-hmm. like, you know,
I definitely see you doing that. Like going yeah. to Abercrombie and all that stuff. Another brand that I see you kind of wearing is Uniqlo. Like it's very, how do you describe it?
It's like American Apparel.
Yeah. yeah. But like they have like really cool, like I have a couple of like their like solid t-shirts and like they're very like they're very uniquely constructed in terms of like the stitching. It's very like high end, but it's like really low price point. So like you can get like a sweat, like a shirt for like maybe $14 or even like a regular, like not so thick fabriced shirt for yeah. like maybe $7.50.
Really? Send me that, because I mean, this is another thought. As we were talking, I'm like, sometimes your clothes are louder than who you are. Mm-hmm. I think that is what I kind of came to the conclusion as I got older, was like, yo, like I'm a loud spirit. Like I'm kind of introverted. I mean, like when I'm not being talkative and things like that, but mm-hmm. when I'm in my element, I'm super extroverted. I could be very dominant and I can be very like loud, like mm-hmm. with my expressions and, you know, how I can engage and stuff like that. And I feel like sometimes people have so many clothing and pieces and all this stuff that overcompensate for the unique person that they are. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I just want to see you. I want to talk to you. And mm-hmm. so I think for me, that is something that, like I said, going back in the day, I struggle with, you know, fashion because I struggle with myself. But now mm-hmm. that I've, you know, gotten to the light of being able to be who I am, I feel like it's just made it so much easier to just, you know, be like, I could rock this and show up to, mm-hmm. you know, a mansion and, you know, and do my thing or whatever.
Right. Do you think it's similar? Do you think every musician is kind of similar in that vein where it's like they're wearing Gucci, they're wearing Louis Vuitton, they're wearing Dior, they're wearing all these top brands? Do you think it's similar where they're, it's not really who they are. It's just kind of because they're this big entity now, they have to look this way?
Well, that's a big rabbit hole to go down, and I'm going to go down it with you because when I say that, it's more so like I've thought about this, you know, in general, where I'm like, man, like, no, this is taught to you. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. taught to, do you actually like the prince of, like, you know, walking around with like Gucci, you mm-hmm. know, like, mm-hmm. I mean, Gucci is great because of the fact that they're quality, but do you actually really love, you know, and I'm not going to get on Gucci. Like I've worn some Gucci and it feels really good, but there's also other brands that can give you the same similar feel mm-hmm. for, you know, half the price, you know what I mean? But to say all that, I think that it's a little man, big car syndrome or whatever. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, like I'm somebody because I can walk into the room with, you know, expensive chains and diamonds and, you know, all this stuff, especially because it was glorified, like, you know, over time that this is something that makes you established. You're not established if you ain't got a chain, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? You ain't established if you ain't got those new Jordans or you ain't got those new da da da. But what that does is it continues the poverty mindset. A lot of these people that are rocking Gucci, you know, Fendi, whatever is hot right now or whatever mm-hmm. in that lane. They grew up watching ads and grew up, you know, watching other rappers do that. And so in your mind, you're like, I want to be just like them at any cost. So you're willing to spend your whole, you know, paycheck or your whole, you know, advance mm-hmm. on clothing or whatever, because nobody's telling you, and nobody, you know, that has the mind to, you know, like help you, because if you're coming from a poverty mindset or even from, like, you know, from nothing to something, it's like your parents can't tell you anything because you're making more money than your parents. You know what I mean? Right. So they're like, whatever you're doing, it seems right, you know, but, you know, towards the end of your career, you find yourself like with no investments, no, you know, nothing to grab to. So to answer your question, like as we went down that, it's to me, it's more of like someone's teaching us continuously, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's Instagram. I mean, this generation, I think, has it even worse because it's one of those things where, you know, everywhere you go, they have it worse and they have it, you know, I think worse, but also there's a balance because there's H&M's and there's, you know, like these other brands like Zara and, right. and things like that, where it's not really about the brand. It's about like the clothing, in a sense or whatever. Nobody's walking around like, yo, I got the newest Goodfella, you know, shirt or whatever, you know what I mean? But, when you do see these, you know, stars like Cardi B came up from nothing and she's rocking, you know, that the fashion designer that you were just talking about, mm-hmm. that Cardi B replica that's, you know, in some place in, you know, south side of Chicago that wants to be Cardi B
right.
is literally, you know, selling her food stamps to get, you know, the latest and coolest shirts and, you know, outfits or whatever to mm-hmm. to not only focus on their creativity. I mean, they're not focused on their creativity. They're focused on their aesthetic and how they look. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And then everything else starves. You know what I mean? So. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you also, in regard to that, do you think it's all about branding as well? So it's like they have this brand, they know how they want to look, so they try to create that persona or whatever you would call it. Do you think it's just branding in a sense where it's like they want to showcase that idea to the younger generation so that way they can either emulate that or create something of their own?
I think that's where the balance comes in. I mean, I think there needs to be education, right? Mm-hmm. Education on how to get to this place, right? I mean, no disrespect to some of these guys. I mean, they make it, they do their thing. You know what I mean? But they don't tell you, you know, the yellow brick road to get to that place. Mm-hmm. Now, when you understand the yellow brick road, right? Like, so if someone's inspired, like, I'm not saying like, okay, because you're rocking Gucci and, you know, Fendi and all this stuff, like you have a poverty mindset and you came from that. It's more so like, if you look at the majority, if you look at, you know, like some of these people that just start in the music industry, there's no like manual for that. You know what I mean? Or there's no manual for, you know, making money or making money work for you. You know what I mean? And so I think with the knowledge, that's when you can be expressive with your fashion. I mean, a person that really comes to mind is actually a radical that a lot of people, you know, might, you know, not dislike, but Kanye West. I mean, mm-hmm. you think about his merger with Gap, you know what I mean? Just recently, like getting with Gap and, right. you know, but he started off as, you know, like an intern. I mean, he was, you know, doing stuff with, Louis Vuitton with, you know, Virgil Abloh and, mm-hmm. And they come from the same camp and stuff like that. I mean, one thing I will say about Kanye is when he's educated on what he needs to do, mm-hmm. he can implement it. And now he's making factories like from cotton or like to from yeah cotton to sew. Like his yeah. that's his whole thing is like, I want to make sustainable, you know, clothing that can last and do certain, you know, and do things over time. So that's when I think, I mean, obviously Kanye, you know, samples and does all different stuff, but mm-hmm. he's also sampling, you know, like what he sees like from some of these bigger fashion designers and stuff and implementing that into what he's doing. But he's educated in what he needs to do to make that work or whatever. He's mm-hmm. gonna, I mean, to me, there's no doubt in my mind that he's not gonna become like the board on like Adidas or something yeah. bigger than that. It's just like, obviously there's a disconnect, you know, mm-hmm. Kanye shoes sell like, you know, hotcakes, you know what I mean? I guess, right. you know, and, you know, you have to give him that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, and that level, I think he's educated enough to be able to be inspired and then turn it into something or, you know, like, for the generation coming up, educate yourself so that way you can know that you're not just, you know, riding a wave or whatever, that's what's hot or whatever, mm-hmm. but you're more like, oh, I want to create something that's hot. I want to wear something that's hot that I like, that's unique to me, you know?
So. Got it. And speaking of Kanye, I love Kanye. I think he's a, you know, creative genius, everything like that. But I will say, I feel like it kind of started with him. Maybe it started with other artists, but when he created his own label, his own fashion brand, a lot of other artists started doing that. So you see Beyonce, Ivy Park, or what is it? Ivy Park, I think. Yeah, Ivy Park. Her fashion brand. Rihanna, Fenty, you know, we see a lot of these artists creating their own fashion brand. What do you think, what is your take on that when it comes to people who started off doing music, weren't really focused on fashion, but are now doing like that, have now a fashion brand that's bigger than the smaller brands that you see now?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, what I want to say is like, Kanye is the scapegoat, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. back in the day, you know, an scapegoat is like the goat that they let escape so that it can get killed first, right? Like yeah. that's literally what that is. And so you think about Kanye leading the way. Like I look at, you know, these brands like Fenty and, you know, like you said, Ivy Park and some of these other things, like, okay, Kanye is the scapegoat. He goes out, he's crazy for doing these things. Bam. You know what I mean? Media, da da da. Then lo and behold, you know, Rihanna and, you know, Beyonce, even Jay-Z yeah. and stuff like that, they come out the woodwork and they go, oh, hey, you know what? Like, I don't really know what he was doing, but this is what we're doing now. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And it's kind of like, you know, to me, it's kind of sad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I mean, to, you know, be honest, it also helps, you know, with Kanye's career and the things that he does or whatever, in a sense, like, you know, people love to watch and talk and have a conversation. So, but getting back to your, you know, your conversation there, it's just more so like, I think that, yes, I think that I look at these other brands and I go, okay, these are copycats, but I look at it as, you know what? I think that every, like, culturally, Black people want ownership. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I learned the other day, which I thought was crazy, was like, you know, the idea of like being 3/4 of a man, like that being in the Constitution. Like, I knew that was there, but right. I didn't know who put it in there. I was thinking like, oh, you know what? Like, maybe what ended up happening was, you know, the people that lost, they were like, okay, we'll put, you know, Black people in as 3/4 of a man. Like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I started reading a little bit more and I was like, yo, no. What ended up happening was, as a compromise, mm-hmm. you know, the people that were like rooting for, you know, freeing slaves, they were like, okay, but there's still 3/4 of a man. So there was still a consensus, right? That mm-hmm. Black people were less than, you know what I mean? They were less than, you know, what was going on. So getting back to what we're talking about here, I think that it is good that there are multiples of, you know, like Rihanna's and Jay-Z's and Beyonce's and all that stuff, because then it gives that kid that's in his living room, you know, the aspiring chance to be like, okay, cool. Like, I'm going to start my own brand because they did it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I mean, I feel like with these brands and these musicians kind of creating those brands, a lot of them are creating them just I feel like for money sometimes, but then I also see, like, even with Rihanna, like, she, everyone's been asking to put out music like for the longest, and she's like, nah, I'm making money off of her beauty line, her skincare line, her fashion line. So it's like, I think in a sense sometimes it can be a good business move, especially because right now, you know, you can't, the music industry is changing and a lot of musicians are not, can't, you know, it's the type of music that they want to create or want to push out is not as popular anymore. It's more about the trap music or, you know, all those, like, you know, not so much lyricists when it comes to rapping, but more just like vibey type, you know, dance music. So I think it's kind of, in a sense, like a good business move for a lot of these fashion, or a lot of these musicians to kind of go into the fashion realm, because if they have good style, like Rihanna had good style before she, like, while she was an artist, before she started her own brand, you know, you can translate that into your own fashion line, especially yeah. Same thing with Beyonce.
Yeah, I mean, I look at music, though, as like the martini before you start your party. You know what I mean? It's yeah. like, you know, music is something that, regardless if it's $0 and 0 cents, music is going to be around longer than, you know, a lot of things in life. You know what I mean? And, you know, because things depreciate, you know, over right. time or whatnot. But music is something that I feel like intuitively humans feel like they need. You know what I mean? It's more of like, I've heard the argument where music is, for some people, you know, it's a stimulant, but it's also like it elevates your senses in that way. And so when I think about, like, getting through the door, you mm-hmm. can get through the door with music, you know what I mean? Because anybody can, you know, at this point, you know, you can grab, you know, Pro Tools and, you know, whatever, keyboards and hook it up to your computer and start a song or whatever. And then boom, you know, you're out there. Now you're out there. Mm-hmm. What ends up happening? What are your influences that, you know, keep you there or, you know, drive you down? They use you for a second and then they get rid of you. So I think what a lot of these artists are doing, because there was a time where a lot of artists were, you know, getting into the movie business like mm-hmm. crazy. I mean, you know, you don't see it as much these days. I mean, right. you see like small nuances of that, but there was like a point in like the 2000s where like you could see like, you know, LL Cool J and like, you know, Mos Def and all these different people just trying to get in through that door. I think what ends up happening is the evolution. The thought is, I'm more than just a rapper, right? And mm-hmm. that's the reason why even when I first got onto, you know, the podcast, I was like, you know what, like, to, you know, you guys are more than just fashion designers. You right. know what I mean? Like, because that's what society wants to box you in as. You know, any negatives are all going to go to, you know, the fashion designer. Any positives are all going to go to the fashion designer, mm-hmm. right? So then this thing becomes like, you know, like a physical manifestation of who you are. So mm-hmm. when people tear that down, if they're talking about, yeah, you know, that last fashion show that you had, you know, when you were that, you know, like dress came out and it was upside down or whatever the case is, it's like you no longer associate it with like that is external, but that is me. So when you're talking about those clothes, you're talking about me. Mm. But that's not the truth. You know, a car, right? Like if you designed a car or whatever, does the car tell you what to do?
Mm. No, we tell the car what to do.
You tell the car what to do, right? So I think the same thing is like when you think about like these rappers getting into fashion and getting into all these things, they want to expand themselves. You know what I mean? Because what they've been told since they were young is like, you need to be a superstar. That is what it is. And when they pierce through that, you know, ceiling, they find that, oh shoot, like there's a ceiling to, you know, the way I've been doing music. So you see Rihanna doing things that are different. Maybe I can still keep music in there, but also add fashion. And so that's where I think we're starting to see, you know, the expansion of the culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that because I think she embeds music in all of her campaigns. Like if you see her fashion show for Savage Fenty, where it was Savage Fenty, if you guys don't know, it's like a her luxury or lingerie line. And it was very like performative, kind of sort of like Victoria's Secret, but better because they had diversity. They had, you know, plus size models. They had black women. They had, you know, the women that you wouldn't consider to be models, but are actually modeling the clothing. So it's like, I think she embraces her culture and the music culture in general and kind of embeds that in her designs. So I think that's pretty cool of what she's doing. And I think Beyonce's kind of getting in that lane as well, where she's embedding her creativity in terms of music and added that into her fashion. Would you kind of do the same thing, start your own fashion line and kind of like create something, you know, I don't know, what would you call it? Augie, what would you call it?
You know, honestly, I wouldn't get into like fashion in that way. Mm-hmm. Like I have a respect for fashion, but I think, you know, for me, I like to just create, you know, like I think that I coin myself as an architect. Mm. So it just so happens that I do music. I'm good at it because I've spent a lot of time doing it. And I feel like if I did anything else, I would be really good at it, you know. And but finding that X factor, which is what is the thing that makes you tick? Right. And when you find that, like I'm really good when I say architect, I'm good at building. Mm. You know what I mean? I'm good at working with people and building them, like building them up to, you know, create something or do something through whatever their, you know, endeavors are or whatever, asking the right questions or, you know, spending time and understanding what it takes to be, you know, go from 0 to 100. Mm. Like that's kind of like my thing. So if I was doing fashion, like I wouldn't, you know, sit down and, you know, try to come up with the design. I would get with a great designer and push them to build something great or whatever. And then, you know, be a part of like that synergy and that vibe, because that's what elevates my X factor inside of myself. So, you know, yeah.
Okay. So like a collaboration in a sense with another designer. That's pretty cool. So now we're actually going to transition, unless in Ariel, if you have a question that you want to ask him as well. No. So now we're going to transition into about Augie and how he started his, if you guys are actually watching, we're in his podcast room in his studio, Hype Studios LA. And we're just going to talk about how he kind of got started in music, what it's been like with entrepreneurship in this pandemic world, all things like that. So Augie, how did you kind of get started in music? What was the inspiration for you wanting to start music?
Well, you know how I told you, like, back in the day, like, I had this thing of, like, I wouldn't say it was self-help, but I think it was not understanding yourself enough, right? Mm-hmm. And I had two brothers, and, you know, between them, they, you know, were good at basketball, mm-hmm. and, you know, my oldest brother was really too old for us to really like connect at the time, mm-hmm. you know? And so, for me, I had to kind of just find my way. And for me, I actually wasn't really good at, at much, yeah. you know, like I played basketball and I could play, you know, and I, dilly dabbled in like a few other things like skating, but I was never really that great. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And then one thing that like came to me really easily was, being able to put words together. Mm-hmm. Like I started off actually as a rapper. So when I was 13 years old, actually 11 years old, mm-hmm. I woke up in the middle of the night and I wrote my first rap or whatnot. So that was like the starting point of like rapping. But even prior to that, I was always interested in sounds or whatnot. So mm-hmm. When I was younger, you know, I got my first trumpet first. I took a trumpet class back when they were giving out, you know, music classes in school or whatever. So I got a trumpet and I started playing that. And, you know, that kind of converted into me playing like piano and like learning from the notes that I heard to mm-hmm. playing on the piano. And then when I got into middle school, you know, I had a company that came along. It was EMI, which now is owned by Sony. They ate them up, but pretty much they gave us like a cool like tutorial on the music industry. It was like artist side. And then there was also the business side. And so with the artist side, it was like, man, like, I don't know what that's about, but I want to be a part of it. Sounds like it's cool. I didn't even, you know, for me growing up, I listened to, you know, a lot of like actually big band stuff because my grandpa would drive, drive us to school and stuff and, you know, play big band music and like Nat King Cole's and things like that. And, you know, I listened to like rap and stuff like that, whatever was commercial and out and stuff. And so when they offered us this program, I was like, okay, I'll be an artist. So that night I remember going home and waking up in the middle of the night and just writing my first rhyme. Mm-hmm. And I went to school the next day and I recorded it like on a cassette, you know, like literally a cassette. Mm-hmm. And they liked it and I got accepted into the program. And so when I got in that program, they showed us the ins and outs of what it meant to like make a song or whatever. So we got to go to like Sunset Studios and like a few other places like Capitol Records. And that just, I'm, you know, at this point I'm, you know, 11 years old seeing all this really cool stuff. And right. I'm just like, whoa, like I'm blown away by, you know, the way the music industry actually works. And mm-hmm. so that was like, boom, that right then I remember getting to Capitol Records and seeing Nat King Cole drawn on the side of the building. And, you know, connecting the dots of like when my grandpa would play like Nat King Cole in the car and talk about how much he loved him, like as a singer, mm-hmm. and being like, oh, wow, that's him. And I felt like, boom, at that moment, that's what all I wanted to do. So even as I got through, you know, like high school playing basketball and doing other things, I was always going home and, you know, like creating, like writing stuff. And, you know, I can't honestly remember a moment I didn't like, you know, do something with the music. Mm-hmm. I never stopped. I just kept on going. And so when I turned 18, I got a internship working with Warren Campbell. Mm-hmm. And Warren Campbell, you know, as you guys know, he's worked with Kanye West on right. like the first couple of albums and also like Mary Mary, mm-hmm. gospel group. And, you know, so much more like Luther Vandross and, you know, Dr. Dre. And, you know, he's, you know, the first Tupac album. I mean, he's done so many things. So he took me under his wing and like, you know, just allowed me to be an intern at his studio. And I, you know, I did all the crazy stuff, like as far as like cleaning and, you know, making sure the studio was well kept. But I felt like that gave me the, you know, the inside, the blueprint on like how a studio is run now, like, mm-hmm. you know, and how, you know, studio etiquette, how like it actually really happens or whatever. I think that my experience in middle school was like the light version of like, okay, you know, artists is like the fast track version to getting there or whatever. But seeing like the process or whatever, I really developed that at Warren Studio. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from that time, speaking of Rihanna, I, you know, did a song that she bought and, mm-hmm. you know, was going to use for her album. And that just opened up like so many doors. I was, you know, talking with all different types of like publishers and about, you know, signing with them, like Warner Chappell and all these mm-hmm. different places. But I ended up signing with Disney because my thoughts were to expand in a sense of like doing movies and yeah. doing all different types of, you know, other things. And so I ended up, you know, working on a lot of movies with them and artistry, mm-hmm. you know, developing the artist and doing different things like that. And at the end of that, you know, I kind of felt like I didn't know enough of myself during that time to make the decisions that I feel like I would make today. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no going back in time. You just learn from those things. But
yeah.
some of those things were kind of like, you know, me understanding, you know, my role as a producer, songwriter in rooms, and you know, the type of aesthetic I wanted to bring in there. I didn't understand my X factor of like, okay, you know what, I can help build something or whatever, rather than always creating and then, you know, saying like, here, this is what I have. I'm good at like, I can create the idea, lob it to somebody, they start doing their thing, send it back to me, and then I slam dunk it, you know what I mean? And right. So for me, after that, it was kind of like, you know, kind of like what we talked about with the ceiling. It was like I kind of burst through the ceiling. I'm like, man, I've worked with a lot of really talented people, like in the music industry, and had a lot of great experience, and still have great experiences. But now what is the next step? And that's when Hype Studios came along. Hype Studios LA. Let me coin that correctly. But, yes. You know, I started to see that this place being more of a creative hub, like, you know, we have the podcast room, we have, you know, a live room, we have, you know, a control room, but all these things being like, okay, if it's just for myself, then it doesn't really capitalize on my strength of, you know, being the architect of like, build, like, what am I building other than just myself in the moment? And so what I ended up doing is thinking like, yo, man, like, this would be great just to have like a source of like community that just comes through here. And it's like, man, you guys are working on a podcast. Well, you know, like, do you know you can implement this? Or like, we have an automated such and such that you can do this. And, you know, I've seen, you know, and experienced, you know, like working with like Elton John's and Mustard's and, you know, different people like that, where I'm like, okay, well, like in you know, the recording realm, it's like I can help young people, you know, get to the next level or whatever, and be excited about that and be a part of that, you know, in a different way where it's not about myself. I think for me in the music industry, I learned that I felt like it was all about like myself. That was what self-love was about, was like about yourself. But to me, self-love is not really, you know, like about yourself. It's about understanding enough to give to others, right? And so that's what I feel like Hype Studios is a representation of, fast forwarding to now and being an owner of Hype Studios. You know, it's great. We implement like, you know, memberships, subscriptions. So that way there's no you know, pressure to, you know, you're already great. You know what I mean? So it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, I think the music industry is all about time. It's like you keep losing time. You know what I mean? And actually you don't ever gain any time. It just keeps going backwards. But for me, I wanted to establish a place where, you know, this is away from everything. And this is where you can be great as you are. And then you can come out in the time that you want. Because when time is not in your face, it becomes, you know, irrelevant. So that's,
so I guess, how did you brand yourself into like getting the clients or the musicians that you have right now that come here on a regular basis? How were you able to kind of use the, I guess, the experience and the connects that you have to kind of brand yourself in as a recording studio owner and kind of get those people to come in and work with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, honestly, for a long time, when it was about myself, I would go out and be like, you know, I'm a Grammy Award winning producer, and, you know, I've worked with such and such, and you should come over here. And it was like, that was just not doing anything. You know, I was like, you know, but I feel like that was actually God teaching me a lesson. Like, he was kind of like, bro, like you're over here trying to sell something that is not sellable. You know what I mean? And so that's when I started changing it. It was about like, people like coming here because, you know, they like being a part of a community, you know, and a culture or whatnot. And so once I started to, you know, like engage with people from like a linear, like if you found out that I did that, that was like an extra, like, oh, that's really dope, man. That's not, like, but I wouldn't introduce myself as, hey, I'm a Grammy Award winning producer, I've worked with such and such, would you like to come to my studio? It was more like, hey, you know, I see, you know, what you do, and I think that it's really dope. Why don't you come by and just, you know, hang out with us for a little bit, you know? And people like that, you know, people were just like, wow, like, yeah, I'll come by and hang out. So then people just started hanging out, and, you know, and that's kind of how the brand just has built. Like, even with CSUN, it was just kind of like, I've partnered with them, and, you know, I'm now an advisor over there for like a class. And so it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I find I find it really great to relate and to just be like, hey, you know, whatever you guys think, you know, let's have fun and do this. So that's when things started to change, was when I stopped thinking about myself, but started thinking about the bigger picture.
That's awesome. And final question, I just wanted to ask, what have you learned from the pandemic that we're in right now with COVID-19, and how has that impacted your business?
Pivot is like, you know, a cliche word that people are using all day, but I use it as well. But like pivoting, it's like if something's not working, change it. You know what I mean? And change it like instantaneously. You know what I mean? Like we built like this automated podcast situation because, you know, it to me was like, okay, well, how are you going to get people to come into the podcast room when COVID is happening? You know, we have sanitizer, you know, like we sanitize everything or whatnot. But I had to change a lot of how we were doing things, where it's like, okay, well, maybe if people can call people from, you know, a distance. And what makes podcasting fun is that it's intimate. It's your own. So I don't want somebody sitting there on a computer the whole entire time recording me. It's kind of weird. I mean, it's not weird, but it's kind of, you know, it's not as intimate. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'd rather just press a button and be like, okay, cool. Like I'm doing my thing, you know, hey, what's up? Da, da, da. So I started thinking from a user experience, like that's really what COVID did for, you know, the business, was like, what does my customers and users want? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So That was kind of the game changer. So that's what I got from COVID. So, or from this time.
This pandemic. Yeah. This time has really knocked a lot of us on our backs. So, but yeah, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. It was amazing to like hear your story and just hear your thoughts on fashion and, you know, music in general. So, shout yourself out. Where can we find you? Where can they follow you? What's going on in your business? Things like that. So, you know, we can promote it here.
Well, you can find us on at Hype Studios LA online on the Instagram. And you can find me on I Am Augie Ray on Instagram. I'm rarely on there. But when I am, I'm going to say something very powerful. So know that. And, you know, as far as Hype Studios, like we welcome everybody, fashion designers included. You know what I mean? Like, I think that as you mentioned earlier, there's just like such a collaboration between all different types of things or whatnot. And so for me, it's like, you know, what brands need music? You know, what brands need podcasts? What brands need da da da? You know, it's an endless thing. I think when we start working, when everybody starts working together. So you can find us, you know, in Chatsworth. You know, that's where Hype Studios is. And, you know, feel free to reach out to me at AugieRay@HypeStudiosLA.com. And, you know, what, look at the website www.hypestudiosla.com. I'm gonna keep on hitting it, and that's it. You know, that's where you can find me.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I'm John.
I'm Ariel.
And this is it. Thank you so much. Hope you guys have a lovely day. Like, share, subscribe, comment. You know, if you have any questions for Augie, definitely hit him up.
Let's go.
You know, and hit us up if you have questions for us, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Yeah, because we'll put that information at the end.
Yeah, we will. Bye.
Bye.